Hello, what have we here?
This is the Sabacc Table, your source for news and discussion on Star Wars gaming.
And who might you be?
I'm Eric.
I'm Lou.
And I'm Nate.
At last, where have you been?
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me. All right, old buddy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Sabacc Table. This is episode number 25 for February 2016. With me, I'm joined tonight by my two regular co-hosts. We have Nate and we have Mike with us here today. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Doing pretty
good.
Great
to be here.
Excellent, excellent. Before we get into this month's news for gaming stuff, why don't we go over what we've been doing lately. Nate, what have you been up to recently?
A lot of work. But I've been also working on an Imperial campaign based off of the Edge of the Empire rule system from Fantasy Flight Games, where instead of using duty or morality, you have loyalty. And if it's a low loyalty, you're being investigated by the Empire for dishonesty. You have to deal with them chasing after you. And if it's high, you can pull a lot of favors and have a lot of resources at your disposal and stuff along those lines.
This sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Are you actually playing this yet, or is this something you're just starting to work on?
Just something I'm starting to work on. I'm working on writing out what I want the campaign to actually be, like what I want the story to be, and then I'll figure out exactly how loyalty works, and then see if I can find someone to play in it.
Cool. That sounds pretty awesome. Keep us posted on how that goes.
We'll do.
I love it when people put together their own set of rules for things that are kind of based on something else.
Yeah.
Usually a lot of fun. Mike, what have you been up to?
I got my Stormtrooper armor from Novos. That big brown box showed up on my doorstep one day and got really excited, so can't wait to start building it.
Sweet.
Yeah, the helmet is pretty cool, and then I've been following a lot of other people's build threads on Facebook, and so I can't wait to start my own. And then other than that, just kind of finishing up my backlog of video games, trying to level up a little bit more in Battlefront.
Nice. Definitely keep us posted on the armor build. That's pretty cool. I want to see some pictures of this as you go along.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll probably be posting them on my Twitter.
Sweet.
Nice.
You know, anybody that does that level of cosplay, I my hat goes off to you guys. It's just a lot of work, and it's just amazing what you guys can put together. I wish I had the time for it. I really do. I've actually started a lightsaber build, getting some parts, and I'm starting to get my electronic background down again so I can kind of start soldering up some stuff, and I want to put together maybe a cosplay around that, but first is first, just get the lightsaber working.
Oh, yeah, no, that's cool. That's some next-level stuff, too.
I've been slowly working on a Ghostbusters cosplay over the years where I've just been a Ghostbuster every year for Halloween, and instead of buying a new costume, I just spend that much money on making this one better.
Nice.
So that's smart.
It started off with, you know, like a jumpsuit and some cheesy props and stuff. And, you know, it was fun. It was a good costume for that year, like at a college, you know, frat party. And then, you know, my wife bought me a custom or one of those nice Mattel PKE meters that's like an exact prop replica, and I had that. I made my goggles one year, and I'm slowly buying the parts for the pack because, man, that's expensive.
Yeah, like a finished pack is about $2,000.
To buy on eBay, you can build your own with base electronics for about $700.
Yeah, wow. So that's definitely cool, the route to go, but yeah.
Nice. Well, definitely keep us posted on that, too. I want to see pictures of this thing when you get it done, Nate.
Eventually. I only have like 3 of the parts so far.
Hey, you know, it all takes time. I've only got a couple parts of my saber so far. Some of them I've been looking for has been not available. The sites that sell it are out of it so quickly. I'm like, okay, let me get the parts that sell out quickly. I'll kind of stock up on those. And then as I get more money, I'll start buying the rest of the stuff and get this thing working. But I'm hoping by next year's celebration, I will have a working lightsaber and maybe a Jedi cosplay to go with it. So we'll see what happens.
Nice. I did get a new piece, well, a new old piece for my at-home collection. My parents brought down my Force FX Luke Skywalker lightsaber.
Oh, cool.
From, nice. Like, this is, like, the first generation of those getting released when you could find them at, like, Borders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the Luke Skywalker one, and I think I still have the Anakin one.
Yeah, I won this in a contest at Star Wars Weekend at Disney World.
Oh, cool.
And I've had it ever since. But I just got it back from my parents, so it's up on the wall now.
Nice. That's pretty sweet.
That's cool.
Let's see. Let's get into it. I only had one new release thing to talk about. Last month, we talked about the Rebellion game from FFG coming out, and they finally announced a release date. That kind of shocked me. Usually, FFG doesn't announce release date. They just say it's on the boat. But they do have a release date of March 31st for Rebellion, which is, you know, right around the corner. Not soon enough, but pretty close. So I'm looking forward to that. Was there anything else new that came out in the last month that I didn't see that you guys may have thought of?
Well, the Battlefront patch released.
Okay.
So that's kind of new. It's the same thing. They didn't change too much. We got some costume changes. They did nerf some builds, but we can talk about all that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's go right into the discussions then. The first one we have up here is the Lego The Force Awakens has been announced. There's a trailer out there. I saw this a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And typical Lego fashion, it's a pretty fun little video to watch. I especially liked not lighting up the lightsaber pretty well. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I don't have those kind of problems with mine, but...
Yeah, I loved it when BB-8 was, like, that scene of BB-8, like, running and looking at the camera, but then he trips all over, like, the lawn furniture.
Like, yeah, it was like a sandcastle or something on the beach. Yeah. It's pretty cool, yeah. Lego does a good job of this kind of stuff. I'm really looking forward to this gameplay when it comes out, because it's kind of more casual than some of the, you know, games we've been talking about lately, and, you know, I do like the Lego stuff. I mean, anything with the minifig, to me, is pretty cool. What do you guys think about it?
I think it looks hilarious. I've really enjoyed every one of the Lego games that I've played. For the longest time, I was trying to get, you know, all of them, but they just kept coming out, and it was harder and harder to do. But I think this one is going to be a need to buy.
Yeah, same here. The only thing that worries me is that this is the first Lego, like, game based on a franchise that's not, like, all of the movies at once. Like, Jurassic World was all of them. Even the other old Star Wars ones, you had the original trilogy, you had the prequel trilogy, and even the Lego Star Wars 3 covered the first, like, two seasons of the show.
Right.
So this one only being based on one film, like, there's a lot of questions of, like, how long is this game going to be? Like, how packed full of content is it going to be?
Now, didn't I see somewhere there's going to be some actual new content in this game? It's going to fill out some storyline from The Force Awakens?
Yeah, but it'll be kind of filler material.
It'll probably like be stuff the other... from the book. That
yeah.
If you read The Force Awakens book,
yeah, that kind
of, a lot of that stuff was filled in.
Mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with Leia and the Resistance and leaving the New Republic and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so there'll be like more Poe Dameron missions. A lot more flying missions, like him arriving on Jakku at the beginning of the movie. Like that whole scene will probably be expanded on.
Yep, that makes sense.
And just a little side note: if you are a PS3 and PS4 user, there are two exclusive packs: the Phantom Limb and the Droid Character Pack. Now, not a whole lot of details been released about those, but I'm kind of interested, especially because I have a PS4 already. So.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yes,
yep.
I think this will probably be a PS4 buy for me as well. Just because, one, it won't hurt to have it on the PS4. It probably won't be a game I play with a bunch of friends or anything along those lines. And the bonus content is definitely worth it.
Right, that's right. You're still living in both worlds, aren't you, Nate? You just got a PS4 around Christmas time, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing I hate about these games, too, where you can't play cross-platform, you know, with friends online. It really does make it difficult sometimes, but
yeah, if only we lived in that like future world where you could,
where everything is accessible to everybody at all the same time. Yeah, it'd be nice, but I doubt it's going to happen anytime soon. So,
well, we got close. They did PC and PS3 connectivity last generation,
and this one they're doing they're doing Xbox One and Windows based games.
Yeah, that makes sense for the Windows side of things with Xbox, because that's all the same family.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't think we'll ever get there, but...
Someday.
So you guys, fill me in on the whole Battlefront thing here, because like I said, I haven't been playing much online at all. I've been busy this past month or so, but what have you guys done with this Battlefront patch, and you know, what has been in there, and what's coming up for the stuff in the next couple of months?
Well, the biggest thing that they did was kind of a big balance patch. The biggest thing that a lot of people don't like is that they nerfed the DL-44, so it's not nearly as strong anymore. It still is close range, but the further away you are, like, it's
I've had a bunch of people say how they were kind of upset that they played so long and so hard to get that weapon, and now it's not as good as it was supposed to be.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I ground out all the way up to level 25 just so I can get the DL-44, and now I'm kind of like switching back to my E-11.
Right.
Yeah, I switched back as well.
But a lot more of the big news that they announced was that we have an idea of what the DLC is going to be.
Okay.
And the first thing that they announced is a Tatooine survival map. So now that's going to be... That's the wrong one. That's the old Raider camp. Now it's going to have like blast maps, Droid Run, Drop Zone, Hero Hunt, and Heroes versus Villains.
Okay.
There were some new Hoth-themed outfits released, which do look cool. Not a big deal, really. It is kind of neat. It makes a lot more sense when you're playing.
Yeah,
kind of keeps you in the game a little more.
Yeah, Luke is using his blue lightsaber on Hoth now.
Okay.
Instead of his green one.
You're also able to create private matches, which allows for a little bit more for like clan training and, you know, just having some fun matches with your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is actually pretty cool. I've already done that with a few Forcecast listeners.
Nice.
And that's awesome. And you can also do it with any game mode. Doesn't matter. If you want to do Fighter Squadron, just you and some friends, you can do Fighter Squadron, just you and some friends.
Well, that's cool. That means a lot to some people because it's not like you had that opportunity before. So,
yeah. They also added daily challenges and community events, and they seem to be using these. They rewarded us for the first community event was complete so many daily challenges, and they rewarded the fans or the players with a 2x weekend or 2x experience.
I saw that. Yeah, that was nice to see. That was pretty good. I was sad I didn't get to play that weekend as I went when I went to log on. I was like, oh, it's over. Oh, well.
I tried to abuse it as much as I could on my PS4 trying to catch up.
Good, good. That's what they're there for.
A couple of the challenges I see, I'm like, okay, like, and I get so far and then I have to go leave for a minute and I'll be like, okay, I'll come back to it later. And then it's the next day and I'm like, that was
easy.
I was two away from the end.
Oh, no. So what's coming up? I mean, that's what we're really looking forward to is what the next step is. I mean, we talked about the downloadable content coming up. They talked about the season pass thing, but we really haven't had a lot of detail out of it yet. But until now, I guess they released some stuff for us.
So we've gotten an idea of 3 of the 4 packs. The first one is expected to launch in March next month. It's called Battlefront Outer Rim. And the press release says, fight among the factories of Sullust and battle within Jabba the Hutt's palace on Tatooine. So it sounds like we're going to get more Tatooine maps, more Sullust maps.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jabba's palace will be cool because it's going to be a new location. Yeah, it's going to be on Tatooine, but like, and we've already seen Sullust, so I'm kind of excited for that.
Yeah, Jabba's palace seems pretty cool.
They also released some images of that, or at least I saw some online. I'm not sure if they were leaked or actually released. It looks pretty screen accurate to me, and it looks fun to play on. They also announced in the summer of 2016 a Battlefront Bespin map. It's hunt or be hunted in this action-packed experience set in Cloud City of Bespin. This is the one I'm excited for because
same here.
The Cloud City maps for the old Battlefront games were always fun to play on.
Oh yeah, like just those had like the multiple levels that you can hide up on, and then even just jumping in a ship and flying around, like that was so cool. And then with the Tabana, like those mining platforms that were just kind of floating in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And then they released another one in fall, which is going to be based around Death Star maps. And then a early 2017 one, which is going to be expansion pack 4, title TBA, to be announced.
Oh, I love TBA. It's awesome.
I know. Isn't that great? To be awoken.
Ooh.
To be awoken.
To be awoken. Nice. I like that. go ahead.
They've only said map stuff so far. Keep in mind, this is all that they've told us. I doubt they're going to tell us anything else, and I hope that there is a lot more than just maps. Otherwise, $60 for all the expansions is definitely overpriced.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. You know, for the season pass, and now,
$50.
But still, I mean, $50 for a few maps seems a bit excessive. And also, this is over a year and a half now from release date, too. Not like we're getting this all within, you know, I think of a season as maybe a year. It was released in November. They're talking about early 2017, so...
We'll get these first three expansion packs before a year.
Right, but the fourth one...
The fourth one, yeah.
...is pushed out till 2017. Who knows when that'll be.
And then that's going to be all of them. They will probably not release any more after that.
You don't think so? You don't think it'll be season two or anything?
It's really rare for games to do that nowadays, it seems like to me. Like, Destiny is one of the few and far between recently that has released, you know, two sets of expansions so far. Mm-hmm.
And even then, the rumors now are going towards Destiny 2 rather than
expansion.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard one more expansion for Destiny, and then I've heard Destiny 2 was announced already, so...
Especially since this is a new franchise, they're probably going to want to try to Call of Duty it, where they have a new one coming out, you know, every other year or so.
Yeah, and that's what I think they're going to go for. I think we'll see a Battlefront 2 before we see an expansion pack 5.
Okay.
I agree.
Especially if it comes out around... episode 8, which old LucasArts used to love launching games around a movie. Like specifically Star Wars Galaxies, the two expansion packs that it got came out at the when episode 3 was released in theaters, and when episode 3 was released on DVD. And then that was it. Hmm. Those were the last two expansion packs.
Well, it makes sense to do that and get some extra bang for your marketing dollars for the movie. You know, be all on the same page, everything come out at the same time is always nice.
Yeah,
it's easier to ride the marketing coattails. If it's easier to advertise for two Star Wars things at the same time than it is to advertise for one, I would think.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if you've got a game you're trying to advertise for, and the name Star Wars is out in the media anyway because you're following up on, you know, the huge movie that was released in 2015. Now you've got another movie in 2017. You know, the name is already out there. Now you're just saying, oh, it's another Star Wars thing. Although, if it's like this past year was, there was so much Star Wars news, gamers might get lost in the avalanche.
Now, one thing that just clicked in my head, the Death Star expansion pack is supposed to launch around fall 2016. What's coming out then?
Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that could play into that.
So, I mean, it might not be any story missions, but hopefully we get some more hero characters specifically.
There could be that, or there could also be, you know, a specific map or scene. Like, we have Jakku. They might have some sort of themed thing, or a grab the plans mission.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
That would be really sweet. Now, I saw something in the news maybe a couple weeks ago, right after we recorded last time, I think, about maybe EA looking back and doing some single-player stuff. Did you guys see any of that?
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that either, actually.
It may have been just wishful thinking, but I thought I saw somebody talking about that online where EA is maybe listening to the fans and maybe doing some stuff for single player. I'll have to try to track down the article and maybe talk about it next month when we record again. But
I mean, that could very well be the fourth expansion pack. Like, they might have planned more maps and then now are kind of backtracking and focusing on a single player campaign.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
That would be great, to be honest, even if they just put it in two. Because I had a lot of people who didn't buy this game because it had no single player.
Right. And, you know, as much as I like playing online with friends, I also like playing single player stuff. I don't always have time to make my schedule mesh with somebody else's. And, you know, if there's a story mode or some content I can get in a single player game, I tend to like that a lot better. So I'd be in favor of that.
Definitely.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, what else we got here? I think, Mike, you had talked about this here. A fan remake of KOTOR?
Yeah, so I just found this today. There's a group of fans out there that is looking to kind of do an HD remastering of the original Knights of the Old Republic game. Now, I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's spelled A-P-E-I-R-O-N, so I'm going to go with Apeiron or Aprion.
Aprion, maybe.
That too. So if one of you guys wants to tweet to us, please let us know how you pronounce that, because it looks interesting. I was going over your website, and there's a lot of cool reskinning of places like Terrace, Anchorhead, and
the Endar Spire looks amazing.
Yeah, and it looks really, really cool. So I'm kind of already excited about it. And they say it's kind of along the lines of the original Half-Life remastering, Black Mesa. So, and that was really, really good, to the fact that, like, it's available on Steam. And these guys are promising that it's going to be free. You just have to own an original copy of it. So that leads me to believe that it's really just a big mod.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be what it is then.
But they're promising it's a remake and remastering of the original game with added content, new worlds, missions, a new HUD, inventory items, and companions. So, I mean, that's a pretty big bar to set for yourselves. And a lot of fan projects kind of fizzle out. Like, it took forever for us to get the expanded content for Knights of the Old Republic 2 through however many teams kept trying, and then just the team dissolved and they came back, and then we finally have it. I don't want to have to wait 10 years for this.
I mean, this is only an announcement. This is still just a dream project. They're not even accepting funding yet.
Okay.
So this sounds like this is a group of people who are really dedicated to this game and want to do it, but might not have all their ducks in a row just yet.
Hmm. Still sounds pretty cool.
It does sound really good.
Yeah, so this is definitely something I'm going to be watching for a while. And you can look at the screenshots at apeiron.game.com.
Nice. We'll definitely keep our eyes on that and keep everybody posted as that comes to fruition, hopefully.
Good find, Mike.
Definitely.
Thank you.
The only other thing I've got here in the notes here is this was an announcement FFG made a week or so ago, and I was going to try to do a update recording and post it out there, but never had around got around to recording it. Did you guys see the story that FFG put out there about the FFG Open Series?
Yeah, they're essentially making X-Wing and Armada the Magic the Gathering of miniature playing.
Yeah, I mean, all centered on X-Wing stuff, and there's going to be 8 regional tournaments around the world. One's here in the U.S., and most of them are in Europe. And the winner of each one of those regional tournaments is going to get a trip, all-expense-paid trip, to Celebration London. So, I mean, that's something to play for right there. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, airfare, accommodations, tickets to the convention, and then also your chance to play in an 8-person tournament in London at Celebration. Sounds pretty cool. The gameplay you can read about, they do have some new rule changes for some of the tournaments and stuff they're going to do. They talked about the open system being set up into 2 segments. There's an initial segment where players compete in 6 rounds, point scoring to see who's going to move on to the next round. There's some side events, which sound pretty cool. There's Hangar Bay, what they call Hangar Bay side events. Each player must field 200-point squads. They must be of different factions. Kind of a cool, read through some of the way they're going to play this. It sounds pretty cool the way they're setting this up. Each round starts with players placing their ships on the left and right side of the board. Players then evaluate the opponent's squads and choose which one of their own ones they want to use by selecting either a 1-speed or a 2-speed on their maneuver dial. And then that's the one you're going to field against your opponent. So you got to, you know, decide which one he's going to use against what one you're going to use. And it sounds pretty cool. It adds another element to the whole, you know, act of fielding a squad. How do you feel about that, Nate?
I love custom games for X-Wing. When they released that scenarios system on their website, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I wish I got a chance to play more scenarios,
mm-hmm.
And this seems like a great way to do competitive ones, or at least more competitive ones.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to add a little bit of excitement to it, because you don't know what you're going to go up against. It's one thing just to have a couple different squads, but you look at what there's going to be on the table and decide from there, and you might decide wrong, and all of a sudden the one you're going to field isn't going to fare well against the one he picked.
Now, are you picking ship for ship, or are you just picking one squad in the other one?
The way I read it was one squad or the other.
So oh, okay.
You might field a scum squad, and you might field an imperial squad, and your opponent may have, you know, imperial and rebel.
Gotcha.
And you may pick the scum squad, and he may pick the imperial squad, and maybe you don't match up quite as well against that as you would have up against the other one. So it should be interesting. I think that's going to be a pretty cool way to do it. Hopefully I can get to try some of that in my own games here.
That definitely sounds like fun.
I was going to say, I just started learning the base rules, and now all these new ones came out.
Definitely something you got to keep playing to keep up with. I haven't played in a while. Eric and I have been talking about getting together soon here, but we haven't had a chance to with his work schedule and my work schedule. But
I have a friend of mine, the main guy that I play with, we haven't gotten a chance to play in so long that he's joking with me that he's going to sell his stuff.
No.
And I, well, I just keep telling
him, donate it to me. Then.
I just keep telling him, yeah, you'll sell it. You're going to sell it to me.
There you go. You always need some extra ships.
I was like, if you're going to stop playing, you're getting it to me. I will take this collection.
So the way this winds up, though, at the Coruscant Invitational, which is the one at Celebration London, players that come, there's going to be 8 players. They each got to bring 3 100-point squads. They have to have one from each faction. So you have one Imperial, one Rebel, and one Scum. It says, as a twist, the X-Wing community is going to vote to determine a single ship for each faction, which players must include in their squads. So if you head over to FFG's website, you'll see the voting out there. And I think it's going to start in March for the voting, kind of like, you know, voting for picking, you know, tournaments for football, basketball. Boy, see, sports is not my thing sometimes. So you're going to go out there and pick which ship you think you want these guys to play. Now, you know, this could go either way. Do you want to make these guys play a really weak ship? Or is everybody going to vote for like kind of the coolest, most powerful ship that's out there?
All Lambda shuttles.
I think it'll end up being either something really, really weird,
mm-hmm.
like all Lambda shuttles, or, you know, a bunch of, like, an A-Wing swarm, which we haven't seen since Wave 2 released. Right.
Well, the way I'm reading this was, though, we're going to vote on ships, and they're going to, you know, narrow it down to a one-on-one thing, till you pick one or the other, and that's one ship that they have to include in these squads.
So oh, just
like
one ship.
You have to include, like, you know, 3... Lambda shuttles. You'd have just one. You may get, okay, I've got to include an A-Wing in my Rebel build. I got to include a TIE Defender in my Imperial build, that kind of thing. So that could really mess with the way you set your squads. But if you got a squad you really, really like, and they're going to make you put an A-Wing in there, and it's not something you normally play with, that may mess with you a little bit.
Now, this is a total newbie question. Now, can you build a squad or a squadron out of any faction ship, or does it have to be like all Rebels, all Imperials?
It has to be all one faction. So
okay.
All Rebels. Some of the ships themselves are crossed between. Like, you can play some ships into the other one, but it's the player, the pilot card's got to be for that faction.
Okay.
Let's see here. What else I say about this tournament?
Well, it sounds like they got it looks like they have a bunch of alternate prizes as well. Or not alternate prizes, but other prizes that will be going out, including alternate cards, acrylic tokens, and maneuver template and range rulers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the regional events, people that score on first day and second day will get some extra stuff. So that's kind of cool. I wish I get my hands on some of that stuff. I always like alternate cards. And
yeah.
The FFG tokens are pretty cool. I wish they would let us buy those, you know, right from FFG. All you get is just the cardboard maneuver dials and templates and tokens in your packs. But they do have the stuff because I've seen them at different tournaments I've been playing in. I wish they'd market them and let us buy them. That'd be kind of cool.
There are many third-party sites now that are selling them. And if you have a 3D printer, there's a ton of different ones that people have put up there that you can print out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I have not bought any because I keep looking for the right one and I just haven't found it yet.
You know, I'm the same way. I look at them. There's a lot of cool ones out there, a lot of sites out there selling the stuff, but like, I like the font on this one, or I don't like the graphic there, but I like this one's colors. It's like, I should just make my mind up and pick one and buy it, because it just feels better to have acrylic tokens than the cardboard stuff.
The coolest ones that I have seen is I saw a fan-made glass set of tokens.
Really?
And it was this neat, like, smoothed-out, beveled glass tokens, and it just looked amazing.
That's awesome. That is really, really cool. I've got almost a nice full set of shield tokens from FFG now at one of the tournaments I played in at two different stores. I got some at both tournaments, so I do have a nice little set of those. But
nice.
It's a living dream. So anybody who's going to these tournaments, you know, let us know. We'd like to hear how you guys do. We'd like to hear how the play was. All the dates for all these will be on FFG's website. You can go out and check those out anytime now and see what's up. I think the one in the U.S. is in Ohio, I think, if I remember correctly. But hopefully everybody can get to one near them, and good luck. And if you get to Celebration, we'd love to hear about that, too.
Yes, and teach me all of your secrets. So I can...
All you need to look up, Mike, is Han Shoot's first build. That's all you need.
Okay.
So, just look it up. That's my favorite build. So much fun.
It is cool. Well, let's see. Is there any feedback you guys want to go over?
Well, we did have some feedback. We just want to give a shout out real quick to thanks or at IMJTash for the feedback. Any other listeners want to see it in this feedback, you can just let us know on Twitter.
Cool, cool. Well, I think that's all I have. There wasn't anything else new that I saw. Hopefully next month they probably won't have the recording for the Rebellion stuff because that's going to be at the end of March. So probably for our April show we'll have that, but next month there'll be some new stuff we can talk about hopefully as well.
Well, a lot of us are getting back on the Old Republic, and Chapter 10 just launched, and I believe Chapter 11 will be coming out soon, so hopefully we can talk about that next episode.
Cool, yeah, I got you back into the, or I got you into the guild.
Yes.
So we got to get you on the Imperial side too now still, I think.
Yeah, well, it took 6 months for one guild.
Oh, well, yeah, right after we did that, my computer decided to reboot, and I was like, oh, come on, and it was taking forever to update, and we'll get you on this week, though. I'll get you signed in there. I got to find out why I lost the Guildmaster portion of the Republic side.
Did your account expire at any point?
It did, but I was still in there as a free to play player. But
I don't think you can be in guilds as a free to play.
You can.
It just
marks your guild as free to play. But yeah, as we do anyway, for all things that go wrong, thanks, Eric.
Yeah, he's thanks, not here, Eric. So we'll blame Eric. Right, exactly. He set it up originally. Fun. Yeah, right. Well, I guess if that's it, we should probably wrap this up instead of droning on here much longer. Anybody wants to get a hold of us, they can certainly do so. Forcecast at forcecast.net, and you can call us on the phone at 616-614. That's 616-613-6723.
You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/forcecast and Twitter at the Sabacc Table.
You can also find our show and all the other great Forcecast shows at forcecast.net, part of the force.net, and rebelscum.com.
And if you like the show, you know, leave us a review in iTunes. That does help our rankings out and help people find us on the show. So please do that. And also tell your friends about us. That's another great way. If you go to a gaming store and you got friends you play with and they listen to podcasts, hook us up with them too.
And if you want to talk to us individually, where can we find everyone?
Let's see. I'm on Twitter at Luseki. That's Luseki.
You can find me on Twitter at The Nerd Word.
And you can find me on Twitter at It's The Rocketeer. That's ITS The Rocketeer. You can also listen to me on my other show, The Retro Convo, where we talk about like old stuff from the 80s and 90s.
Nice.
Nice.
I'll give that a listen myself, definitely.
Please do. We're doing the Disney Afternoon right now, so if you were a big fan of those cartoons in the early 90s, please give us a listen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That sounds great, man.
I'll check that out. Well, guys, until next month, have fun gaming, and we'll see you soon.
Definitely.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this month's Sabacc Table. Some of you who were with us back in episode number one will probably remember we were part of the Random Chatter Network. Well, things have come full circle and we're no longer with the Forcecast. We are on the Random Chatter Network once again. If you'd like to get a hold of us, any questions about this podcast, something you'd like to see us cover in the future, or just something you'd like us to clarify for you, you can get a hold of us a couple different ways. Email is probably the best way, podcast@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Twitter, at Random Chatter is our Twitter handle. Facebook, we're also there as well at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And of course, you can find all the information about this show and the rest of the shows we do on our network over on our website, www.randomchatter.com. We'd love it if you left us a review on iTunes. It does help people find us and keeps moving us to the top of that list so you can get more exposure for us. We'd appreciate that. And also, you know, tell your friends about us. That's a great way to get the word out about the podcast. If you've got friends that are into the same things you are, chances are they might like to listen to the show as well, too. So until next time, we'll meet you back here probably about a month's time for some more Star Wars gaming news, discussion, and just all-around fun. Thanks.
The Force will be with you always.